Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And that's how this particular client is now in the process of extracting that equity to assist them to buy the next house. So you're kind of just riding a bit of a boom wave, but at the same time, you have to buy the right property to be able to do so. You know, what most people are doing right now when they're buying property is they're paying way too much for it.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode of Invest Like a Pro, presented by Housefinder, we're chatting with founder and buyer's agency director, Simon Liu. We delve into what happens in a seller's market and discuss who's buying, where, and when. In addition, we chat about what investors need to keep at the forefront of their minds when purchasing. Liu dives in with a case study featuring one of his new clients who had recently purchased in the Brisbane area, beginning with what the client's situation was.
This particular case study surrounds the recent boom that, you know, everyone knows is happening at the moment, whether it's Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide. Obviously, in this particular scenario, it's Brisbane. This particular client that I had signed up with me late last year, I would say around about the sort of late November mark. And back then, it was already a completely different market to what it is today. So when we signed up, we had a... we obviously run through the, what you're after, specifically what you don't want with the type of property that we're looking for. As you know, my focus has always been on investment properties, has always been on properties that are distressed, properties where we can make money from without relying on the hope of capital growth, even though that's also happening right now, just organically. So, this particular client that I have in Sydney, he was very new to investing. He wanted something that was very visually appealing. So something that was quite nice, something that he could picture himself living in, which is fine. And the challenge was it kind of clashed with what was happening on the ground and what is currently happening on the ground at the time. So just to give you a bit of context, when I was buying property for clients in this particular area in Brisbane about 5 or 6 months ago, I would say the mix was about 50-50 owner-occupier and 50-50 investor. Okay, so if you had a house, 50% of the interest would be owner-occupiers and 50% of the interest would be from investors. Now, that was fine because when you're competing for a property with other investors, it can give you a bit of the way that I work is the way I negotiate and things like that, it gives me a little bit of an edge. But when you're competing with owner occupiers as an investor, it presents a lot more of a challenge if you're looking for a bargain, if you're looking for a good deal, because owner occupiers, they buy emotionally, they buy properties based on how they feel. And then a lot of them aren't really looking at the bottom line in the sense that, they might happily pay an extra $50,000 more, than even what it's worth potentially, especially in this market. You see it happening every day. Just for the fact that they can picture themselves living there. Money's very cheap at the moment. There's a lot of government grants. So for them, the extra $50,000 isn't even their money. That's what they're thinking. But for us as investors, that $50,000 will make or break a deal. As to whether it's a good investment, whether it can help me generate the cash flow, or whether I can get enough equity out of this property to buy the next one, and so on and so forth. So with me and this client, when we first started looking, we were looking at a lot of sort of, you know, properties that were quite nice to look at, newly renovated, modern type houses. But we were competing with so many owner occupiers that the numbers just didn't make sense anymore. You know, we couldn't buy these properties that we're paying above market value for, because, you know, just the multiple offer situations for these houses was just through the roof. And currently the mix in this particular suburb that we're talking, I won't talk about the specific suburb, but the particular suburb that we're looking at the moment, or we were looking at, is now about 90% owner occupier. So the shift was from 50% owner occupier to 90% owner occupier that's looking in this area. Now that might sound great from a growth perspective, which it has grown, but we had to shift our strategy a little bit, because we had to buy properties where we weren't competing with owner occupiers. So what we did was we sat down and we thought, okay, cool. What are your goals? What are you looking to achieve with this property? Are you looking to buy a property to help to make yourself feel good in terms of the fact that it looks new and it you know, feels great and you can picture yourself living there, even though you will never probably set foot in that property? Or are we looking for a property that's going to help you make money, you know, achieve your long-term goal of passive income, help you buy that next property just because we bought a good deal? So when we sort of asked those questions again, you know, it was clear that the goal was the latter. You know, we were looking for an investment property to help us make money, to achieve goals. So our shift then, knowing that, okay, most of the people on the ground are owner occupiers looking for a house to live in, they're looking for a polished product, we started to focus our efforts on properties that I wouldn't say ugly or run down, but properties that were just not, may not have been hitting the mark with, you know, a lot of the emotional first home buyers. So properties that were a little bit older, maybe a little bit more original, properties that, you know, even though they're in a safe, tidy and rentable condition immediately, they had that potential that you can add value to, which coincidentally is what most investors want anyway. So, you know, in doing that, and we're also focusing, you know, like a lot, I would say more than 80% of the properties we buy for our clients are off market. So, you know, we focused all our efforts looking at properties that weren't on the market yet, or pre-market properties just before they hit the market. And regardless of what you're seeing in the media at the moment, you know, all the hype that's happening around you about, you know, properties as soon as they get listed, you know, you're getting multiple offers and all that kind of stuff, off-market properties still exist. And they're actually extremely prevalent as well. You know, you just need to, I guess, know the right people and have the right conversations with people to get access to them. And in doing that, it enabled us to buy a property that was still below market value. It was still distressed. Property was already rented, which is another thing that I'm finding a lot of. You know, if there's a first home buyer or an owner occupier that's looking for a house to buy and move into, you can't have a property that's already got a tenant in there. You know, otherwise you're going to have to wait several months for them to move out before you can actually move in. So, you know, we focused our efforts on property that was already rented, which meant cash flow from the property from day one. And look, yeah, we ended up with a great property that literally just two to three months now, I think it was, since we bought this property, they're already looking to extract a significant amount of equity from this house, which was a combination of the fact that we got a good deal in the first place, but also just an organic growth that's been happening everywhere in Australia at the moment. So we're kind of, you know, taking advantage of both aspects to pull this equity out and using this equity to buy the next property and the one after that and so on, like I've talked about on previous episodes. So I guess the moral of this particular story or this scenario is that sometimes we have to really sort of just sit down and think about what we want to achieve with property. Why are we in the market? You know, what are we looking for? Are we looking for properties that will help us as an investor to invest in, i.e. make money? Or are we looking for a property that will help us, I don't know, feel good at night, sleep well at night, knowing the fact that you've got like a nice product, at least in the pictures of the ad.
or roof on the over your head kind of thing. You know, that's emotional buying. It's almost like you're buying for your own self to potentially live in. And that's a completely different mindset there. And it's fine, you know, if you're looking to buy a place to live in, like your principal place of residence, yeah, that's great and all. But if you're an investor, you've got to take that side out of it and then focus mostly on, yeah, the numbers.
Yeah, for sure. And now more important than ever, you know, because everything's going up and you're competing, like mum and dad's first home buyers, you know, very emotional buyers. You need to think of a way to sort of counter that. So that's what we've been focusing our efforts on as well.
Coming up after the break, Lou reveals the reasons sellers may be selling privately.
Some sellers are actually aware that if they put the property on the market, they'll probably get more money for it. But interestingly, for a lot of sellers, you know, maximizing the sale price is not a priority for a lot of people, depending on what their situation is.
He details the potentially dangerous way many buyers are purchasing at the moment.
But that's also very dangerous, especially in a rising market, because, you know, even though you've bought a property, you're potentially playing catch up.
We discuss how to get around the obstacle of not seeing any opportunities.
I think a lot of people did this in Sydney and Melbourne, you know, back in the boom, at the start of the Sydney boom, for example. You know, everyone obviously wanted to buy as close to the city as possible, and they were neglecting Western Sydney or areas that were further out.
And that's next. I'm Tyron Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Have you been looking for months and getting frustrated that each property you've seen seems to be a lemon? Or are you after distressed, off-market, high cash flow properties in high growth areas, capital city locations? If you answered yes to either of these questions, you are not alone. For being a loyal listener of the podcast, Simon Liu is offering a free one-hour strategy session normally valued at $500 to help put together an actionable property plan. To get your free strategy session, simply visit housefinder.com.au and fill out the contact form or call Simon directly on 0415 626 342 and quote Property Investory. Lou shares further on the numbers behind this particular deal. What was it on the market for? And how did he come across it originally?
Like I come across with most deals, you know, I have a lot of agents that we've done a lot of business with over the years. You know, some agents we've bought dozens of properties through. So they know that if they present a property to me, if the seller is in a situation where they have to sell very urgently or very quietly, then chances are I can make that happen as smoothly as possible. You know, so typically when you sell a property, you market it, you put up an ad, you do hundreds of inquiries and open homes, and you know, you're dealing with first home buyer shakiness and uncertainties from buyers, and that can be quite a draining process, not only for the agent but for the seller. So, you know, when the agent called me up about this property, it was off market, by the way. It never hit the market. The property was a rental already. Again, the seller situation was definitely distressed financially, so he needed to sell his property very, very quickly. So he called me up. If you have the right buyer, we're after a buyer that can make the transaction happen as quickly as possible, but also a buyer that will retain the tenant. Because in this particular scenario, the tenant was actually a friend of the seller, the vendor. So the seller didn't want to sell it to somebody that was going to kick them out at some point, or after the sale went through. So, you know, for me and my clients, all my clients are investors. That's kind of like a win-win, obviously. You know, if my buyer can buy it and just have a tenant existing there, they love the place, they want to keep renting it, stay there. You know, we're happy for that to happen. So, you know, when we put these two together, you know, that's how we got the deal. And that's how a lot of these deals happen for us currently. You know, agents will call us up. They've got a property that needs to sell. Maybe some don't even want to list it. Some sellers are actually aware that if they put the property on the market, they'll probably get more money for it. But interestingly, for a lot of sellers, you know, maximizing the sale price is not a priority for a lot of people, depending on what their situation is. You know, there are a lot of situations where people have to sell privately to avoid making it public that they're selling a house, or whether they're living in it, or whether they're selling like an investment property or something like this. So that's how we got access to the property.
Fantastic. And maybe just run through high level, I guess, in terms of the numbers behind this type of property. How much was it actually offering off the market? And I guess, you know, after a bit of negotiation, what did you guys do to get it to the right terms that would suit both parties and make it win-win?
So the property itself was about 20 kilometers from Brisbane CBD. I won't reveal exactly where it was. When we looked at the immediate comparables, bearing in mind that in a rising market, which is where we're in at the moment, the comparables that we're looking at are usually about 2 months old already by the time they register with the titles office before the price becomes public, because most agents, when they're selling a property now, they don't reveal the price, but it will become public anyway, information, the prices. So, you know, just by using the comparables, we were about, I would say, 10 to 12% below what the market value was for this house at the time. So we picked it up for 400. Okay, it was a house. You know, all the comparables at the time suggested it was worth at least 440, 450, something like that. But obviously, since we bought it, literally the 42 days, it was a 42-day contract. By the time that it settled, just by looking at the new comparables that came on, the ones that sold, you know, in the recent week or so, you know, the house was probably at that time worth about 480, 490 already, just by organic growth. So, you know, you're getting half below market value, half organic growth as well. And that's how this particular client is now in the process of extracting that equity to assist them to buy the next house. So you're kind of just riding a bit of a boom wave. But at the same time, you have to buy the right property to be able to do so. You know, what most people are doing right now when they're buying property is they're paying way too much for it, you know, because they're thinking to themselves, money's so cheap, you know, they're only paying 2-3% interest rates. You know, they go to the bank and they give them $600,000 of borrowing power. And then they go off and, you know, they look at a property, even though it might only be worth $500,000. They're like, oh, you know what? I can buy afford up to 600. I really want this one. It looks great. You know, it fits a lot of my sort of emotional buying criteria, and I'm more than happy to pay 600 for it. You know, so that kind of stuff is happening rampantly. And it's also creating a lot of FOMO. You know, so a lot of people are thinking to themselves, oh, I'm going to miss out. I'm just going to have to pay a little bit more and just go into it. But that's also very dangerous, especially in a rising market. Because, you know, even though you've bought a property, you're potentially playing catch up. Even if the market's going up as you bought the property, you know, it might be 12 months before that property is actually worth what you paid for it in the first place. So it's really important just to maintain a certain level of calmness in this market. Don't ever feel like you're going to miss out. There's always going to be another bargain. There's always going to be another deal. There's always going to be another market. Don't forget that property is a long-term game. And during that long term, you're going to get rising markets. You're going to get, you know, falling markets. You're going to get markets that are doing absolutely nothing. So it's really important just to ensure that every single property you buy fits into what you're looking to achieve in the long term.
So Simon, we're talking a little bit about the FOMO, you know, the market right now where there's a lot of people right now, you know, potentially looking at buying more property, especially first home buyers and also people who've never really been in the market. And I've been in, you know, seller's market for at least two times in my lifetime, one as a real estate agent and one as an investor. And every time that happens, I go, gosh, this is not the time to be buying because there's just too many people. You know, the time just before it goes up is great, but when everyone's all buying, that's the time I just sit back and watch. But for investors out there who are going through this potentially the first time or maybe in seeing this the second time, what have you found to be the best thing to do in this instance? What do you think we should be doing, you know, to be able to, I guess, capitalize on an opportunity like this, but also at the same time not get caught up within that FOMO kind of thing?
It's the same thing for whether property market's going up, down, left, right, or, you know, nothing, is just to stay unemotional. You know, emotions, when it comes to investing in anything, you know, emotions is probably the one thing that will cause most people to make mistakes, whether they pay too much or whether they sell at the wrong time. Always be ready for opportunities. That's the second thing I will say. You know, get your finances ready, whether it's up market, down market, left, right, center. Get your finances ready, get your deposits ready, and wait for the right opportunity. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are getting FOMO, including, you know, the people that I work with me as well. You know, like, even though on average, a typical client of mine might buy a property within about four to 6 weeks or so. But there is that fear that if we don't buy this next thing, they're going to miss out. So, you know, my suggestion is to don't feel like you're going to miss out. There's always going to be another property. There's always going to be another opportunity. If you're an investor, you should practice, you know, being open-minded to different areas as well. You know, not everywhere is booming as crazily as Sydney or Melbourne, you know, as an example. So obviously we're buying heavily in Brisbane at the moment. And even though Brisbane is booming, I do feel like we're at the start of the boom cycle. So this boom cycle, given the fact that for the past 10 years, most of Southeast Queensland has done absolutely nothing, I do feel like this boom cycle is going to last quite a while, you know, for a number of years, unless, of course, there's economic or government intervention or anything like that. So, you know, ensure the numbers work. Super, super important. You know, again, just look at what properties have been selling for. One of the things I would recommend is, instead of looking at comparables from 2 months or 3 months back, get your hands on data that might even be just a week old. Okay, so literally in a rising market, it's important to look at what sold last week that are comparable to what you're looking at, you know, because that will give you a much more accurate representation of what a particular house that you're looking at is worth. Yeah, because 2-3 months old, that's already old data, that's gone. So if you're looking at a house, it's going to cost $500,000 to buy it. You know, if you're looking at old data, like 2 to 3 months back, you might be thinking, you know, houses back then were selling for $450. You know, but there's obviously no way you can buy this house at $450 because within the 2 months, the market's actually already moved. So it's important to look at that and say, okay, cool. Maybe if I do pay $500,000 for it, based on the house literally sold 3 days ago that sold for $530, it's still not a bad deal. You know, so that's just one thing about just being a little bit more diligent about the kind of data or the kind of research that you're doing as well. Don't be afraid to explore different markets. I think I've mentioned this already, but, you know, even if it's in the same city, you know, a lot of people, again, have a prejudice of buying in a particular area that they think is going to perform better long term. But if there's no opportunities in that particular area at present because it's just getting absolutely smashed by owner occupiers and first home buyers and there's no listings and all that kind of stuff, don't be afraid to venture into other areas that, you know, it may be foreign to you or areas that you might have a negative perception about. I think a lot of people did this in Sydney and Melbourne, you know, back in the boom, at the start of the Sydney boom, for example. You know, everyone obviously wanted to buy as close to the city as possible, and they were neglecting Western Sydney or areas that were further out. But obviously in hindsight now, looking back, if they bought in these areas, they probably would have made a lot more money from a percentage growth perspective. So, you know, I think it's important to just look at the fundamentals. You know, obviously you're still looking at areas that are, you know, close to school, shops, parks and transport, you know, good amenities, close to city, a lot of government spending, a lot of infrastructure upgrades, all that kind of stuff as well. But it's a natural progression in any booming city where the money goes further and further out eventually. You know, obviously everyone wants to live close to the city in desirable areas, but when people get priced out, they immediately gentrify and move into the next best thing. So as investors, we, you know, it's important for us to be maybe one step ahead of that and think, okay, cool, what is that next best thing? And maybe you should be getting into that area before it gets smashed, just like, you know, that desirable area is happening at the moment. So I think a combination of all these things will increase any buyer's or any investor's chance of picking up a decent investment property in this market.
Thank you to buyer's agent Simon Liu, our guest on this special episode of Invest Like a Pro presented by Housefinder. Also, for being a loyal listener of the podcast, I've asked Simon to offer a free 1-hour strategy session, normally valued at $500, to help you put together an actionable property plan. To get your free strategy session, simply visit housefinder.com.au and fill out the contact form, or call Simon directly on 0415 626 342 and quote, Property Investory.